Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 16 of Radio Icebox. This is usually the part of the show where I come on and give you some news or beg for money or something like that. But I wanted to take the opportunity to just pay a short tribute to a person who passed from us just this past week here in the great state of Minnesota. You know, when you think Minnesota, you think nice, you think kind, maybe a little boring. But for a few short decades, this state, this wonderful state, got to be just a little bit cooler because of the work of a single man. I'm speaking, of course, of Prince Rogers Nelson, who passed from us just this past Thursday. You might be aware, you might have noticed that we actually paid tribute to the Purple One in our storyline very early this season. We mentioned that JJ's high school, the high school that JJ had been laid off from, was Rogers Nelson Votech. Just a little nod towards this great talent. And we are much the sadder and much the worse for his passing. So I thought I'd start out this edition of Radio Icebox, this Oso Minnesota podcast, with a moment of silence in honor of a great talent, a great man, and a great artist, the artist known as Prince.
Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance.
81. Your shirt, sir?
Yes.
I'm sorry, son. I really am.
Wait.
What is it?
Don't close the drawer yet. I want... Never mind.
Do you know where she had been recently?
I really don't.
We're just trying to figure out her last day. It's going to be very important. Now, this next question might be a little, well...
Go ahead and ask.
You're sure?
I'm pretty sure I can't feel worse than I already do.
Yeah, well, what I need to ask is, do we have any reason to believe she might have been in trouble?
We have every reason to believe she was in trouble.
Why do you say that?
She stepped right through some kind of dimensional portal, right into the hands of some mysterious beings, so I didn't have to.
Okay.
You look like you're considering it.
Considering what?
What I just said. Like you might be thinking it's true.
Isn't it?
Sorry, Sam. I just think of you as being very pragmatic. When the conversation shifts to dimensional beings, I expect you to be skeptical.
If it helps, I'm skeptical as hell.
Thank you.
But there's a lot more to this case I need to understand, like who she really was.
You don't know?
I don't know a thing. And I had to take orders from the woman more than once. I don't know what you got yourself mixed up in over at the radio station, but some very high-up people are interested.
But you don't know a thing about her, other than she's high up.
That's right.
Her name is Margaret Starkley, a colonel in the Air Force.
She told you that?
She did, yes.
Well, that's interesting.
They've been down there a long time.
Yes.
Are you all right, my dear?
Yes. No. I don't...
Here now. It's all right.
I'm sorry. It's just all the stuff with Major Rideau being dead and then not being dead and now Jennifer, and I know Cody is down there with his heart breaking.
Here.
What is that?
It's a page from my latest play. I don't have a tissue for you.
Oh, but your play...
Actually, it's Peggy's play. And to be honest, it's not very good. She may well save planet Earth, but she's not much of a writer.
Thank you.
Better?
A little. I feel like there's something we need to do.
Undoubtedly.
I mean, for Cody, this whole thing is going to just about kill him.
He may surprise you. He is more resilient than you realize.
Cody! Are you okay?
I'm fine.
You were gone a long time. Was... Well, I mean to ask...
It was her.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Dr. Graves?
Yes, Cody?
What are we going to do?
I don't think I understand.
I have to get her back.
Oh, Cody, don't torture yourself.
We know I was supposed to get Jennifer back, and we know that a lot depends on it. And we know that being dead doesn't really mean much in our present situation.
Well, I suppose that's true.
So, I need to figure out how to bring her back. And for that, I need help from you.
Anything, dear boy. What do you need?
I need to talk to Peggy.
Oh, I'm not sure.
You're not sure of what?
Of where she is. You know, she comes and goes so much these days, I can't keep... Actually, I was here all along.
Peggy?
Be patient with Dr. Graves. This relationship really is quite a strain on him.
Peggy, do you know what we're talking about?
Yes.
And can you help us bring Jennifer back?
I could, but if I did, it would be bad.
What do you mean?
No, is what I mean.
No? Just like that?
Well, I guess not just like that. There's something we must do first.
And then you'll help Cody bring Jennifer back?
If we succeed, all will be well, and we can return your friend to you.
And if we don't succeed at doing whatever you say we need to do?
If we don't succeed, then none of this will matter. Nothing will matter.
Peggy?
Yes?
I'll be glad to help in any way I can, but could you do me one favor?
I'll try.
Don't mention the end of the world stuff to JJ.
He's well aware of our situation.
Oh, I know, but he freaks out really bad when he hears it out loud.
Yes. His concern is more intense than the norm.
Wimp is the word.
Here are some area events for residents of the Icebox metropolitan area. Local artisan Roman Sparkler will be offering a candle-making class at the public library and municipal liquor store this Saturday afternoon, beginning at 2 p.m. Roman wants everyone to know that this year's class is not, repeat not, a repeat of the Roman candle-making class, which he held last year, which led to several $100s of damage to the library's collection of romance novels and flavored vodka. This year's workshop is strictly for making candles for aromatherapy and mood setting, though Roman did hint that anyone bringing their own sulfur and black powder could see him after class for some unofficial advice. The class is free, but the library is requiring a $1,000 insurance rider to participate. The Hiking Club will be holding their first meeting Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. in the City Hall Chambers. With the snow gone and spring well and truly on its way, it's time to get outside and enjoy the beautiful weather by hiking up your pants, skirts, or other leg coverings. Discussion at the first meeting will center on exactly how high this year's hike will go. All are welcome to participate, but club founder and president Stu Snerdley does ask that anyone not truly interested in the rich and colorful history of hiking to please stay away. The club does not want a repeat of the Great Poking Incident of 2009.
So it's her.
Without a doubt.
I'm really sorry, son.
It's okay. It's not over yet.
Are you sure that's a healthy attitude?
It is the healthiest attitude. There's always hope.
I'm glad to hear that.
Indeed.
But it does kind of beg the question...
What do we do now?
No, I was actually thinking of another question.
What?
Do I need to be here?
Oh, for the love.
Well, you guys seem to have things in hand.
What do we have in hand? Jennifer is in the morgue, Peggy and Dr. Graves say the world's coming to an end, and we don't know what to do about any of it.
Yeah, but do I need to be here?
Sit.
But I don't understand.
Sit. Now. No arguments.
I can keep whining, you know. You hate that.
Fine. Go down to the main studio and monitor the levels.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, the ridiculous man of mine.
You're claiming him?
Oh, God, I still am.
Back to the issue at hand.
Right, sorry. What is the issue at hand?
Oh, good question. There are so many on the board, I'm not sure where to begin.
We must begin with Cody. You had a request of me?
That's right. I have reason to believe that getting Jennifer back is key.
Key to what?
Saving the world.
It is possible, I suppose.
Good, because that was just a guess.
But I'm not exactly sure how saving the world fits in. After all, it wasn't one of us who told you to retrieve Jennifer. It was yourself from another time, and I do have a plan for dealing with the situation, but I'm not sure how Jennifer fits in.
Question?
Yes?
You said it wasn't one of us, but we don't know who you are.
Ah, that's right. You don't.
Dr. Graves? Peggy?
Yes?
You fell silent there for a minute.
I was calculating.
Calculating what?
How much to tell you all. How much you'll need to hear before you agree to help me with my plan.
That depends on what your plan is.
Detonating a device which could kill us all.
I would say we need some explanation before doing that.
Very well, but I must insist on complete secrecy.
Of course.
Don't be quick about making up your mind, Cody. I need complete secrecy. You can never tell Jennifer what I tell you, nor Sam the police chief, nor any of the government officials watching this town. None of them can know what I'm about to tell you.
Can I tell JJ?
He really won't want to know.
That's, well, probably accurate.
Do I have your word?
Yes.
You said I can't tell Jennifer? Does that mean I'm going to get her back?
If all goes according to plan, it's our best chance.
Right. I'm in.
Abby?
I agree.
Good. Now, I can't give you many specifics. That's for your own protection. But I can tell you enough. It all has to do with the meteorite.
I knew it.
I've been saying that for years.
Yes. Tell me, Major. Was there ever an effort to retrieve the meteorite from the bottom of the lake?
We had some folks from the university not long after it happened. They just kind of stopped coming around here after a while.
Yes. Did you ever wonder why?
Government cover-up, wasn't it?
In a sense. Your government wished to keep the meteorite where it was. It could not be brought up for study.
Why not?
Because they tried, and it did not go well. Probably only Majors old enough to remember. But there was a tremendous amount of UFO activity in the 1970s.
Oh, I remember hunting UFOs was all the rage back then.
Yes, it was. And for good reason. There was a fleet of them moving close to this planet at that time.
Wait, you mean there really is extraterrestrial life?
There is. But we were not explorers. We were not here to study Earth, or invade, or anything like that. We were simply passing through.
And you just happened to be in the neighborhood?
We were here because our orbit took us here. Our orbit took us everywhere. That was the point. Our fleet was essentially a group of comets. Or at least that was how they appeared in your telescopes.
Oh, I remember a flurry of unexpected comets in 1975.
Indeed, that was us, a group of lonely sojourners moving through space. We could not remain in one place for very long because the various worlds that make up this galaxy would not permit it. Our orbit was designed that way.
I don't understand.
Our orbit was designed to never be very close to any one planet for very long. Our group was so undesirable, so unseemly to the galactic community. We had to be nowhere and everywhere. I suppose, to borrow an Earth phrase, we were an intergalactic NIMBY.
What was so wrong with this fleet?
It was a collection of beings. Beings from all over the galaxy. Murderers, rapists, thieves. Every one of them deemed unfit to live with decent people.
It was a prison.
Essentially, yes.
There's a fleet of prison comets orbiting the galaxy?
Not how you're thinking. There's no cages or recreation yards or communal showers. Extended travel in deep space requires a kind of separation from a physical body. The prisoners can be stored in that way, pushed into a subdimension very close to our own, so that they are both inert and conscious.
That's terrible.
No, it's not as bad as you think. And we supervisors are subject to the same fate. We were still capable of communicating with each other and interacting. We could even read and watch movies.
So, it's like your spirits are riding around in the rock.
Your planet's scientists have not come very far in this area, so I'm not sure how to explain it to you. It's like a spirit, but like a body, too. Sort of halfway.
A prison of souls.
Well, yes.
Okay, so you were riding around on this prison comet in 1975, and then what happened?
Yes, well, it's a bit embarrassing.
We won't laugh, I promise.
A group escaped.
Escaped?
We're still not sure how they did it, but somehow they managed to break off a portion of the comet and send it plunging toward Earth. That was when their luck ran out. Had they crashed in a desert or a city, they might have managed to escape completely and blend into society.
How? I mean, you said their souls, or whatever, were in the rock.
They can occupy organic minds, as I do with Dr. Graves. If they had crashed close to people, they could have taken over their bodies and escaped. But water inhibits the process. They can only project images of themselves.
Like ghosts.
Exactly. And only to a very limited range. For the last 40 years, the fugitives have been trapped under the lake, unable to do much more than tell stories to Dr. Graves. All the while, they have been trying different ways to escape. The doctor himself was whisked away for a time.
And me and my unusual cranial architecture?
Another theory. A very promising one. It was a surprise that they took Jennifer in your place. Apparently they thought she was special in some way.
And the man we thought was Major? The skinny man with the glasses?
Is why I'm talking to you now. It was bad enough when we thought they were trying to possess living people, but if they can successfully animate the dead, things are very dire indeed. There are more dead in this world than living, and they're much easier to manipulate.
Well, they could do that, then. They could escape.
And possibly become an army of walking zombies, capable of tricking people into seeing them as normal, living human beings.
Can I ask a kind of stupid question? Why not just go get the rock?
They tried that. A sheriff's deputy, two Navy SEALs, and an astronaut were lost. The minerals the comet is made of are toxic on your planet. The effect that keeps fish from living anywhere near the comet gets rather intense if you actually touch it while in this dimension.
Right. So what do?
We follow my plan and destroy it once and for all. It will be dangerous, and I'm not sure your government will be agreeable.
And how exactly do we get Jennifer back by blowing them up?
They are experimenting with chemical processes to cross from one dimension to another. If Jennifer's body is here, she is tied to this dimension. When the comet is destroyed, the prisoners will all be trapped in their dimension forever, and Jennifer's essence will return to her body.
And if she's really just dead?
Well, then our actions will ensure these beings will hurt nobody else.
Heavy.
Right. What do you need us to do?
We need 4 and a boat.
I have a 12-footer at my place. As long as you don't need much speed, she'll be fine.
Can Cody pilot it?
I can handle an outboard.
Excellent. But there will be a detonator to manage. And it's better if that's not in the boat.
Radio-controlled.
Do you have such a device?
Oh, I could rig up something, but why not in the boat?
The detonator should never be within 2 meters of the device. It could trigger accidentally.
How about I man the detonator on shore, and you and Cody head out?
That may be our best option, but I need a 4th.
A 4th what?
4th person. We require 3 in the boat. One to hold its position steady, and two to lift the device.
I have just the fourth member for your team.
Time now for news headlines from the Radio Icebox News Desk. This is Paul Sitzer reporting. The Icebox Soviet exile community has announced its plans for their annual May Day parade. The group, made up of Trezhak and Karlamov families, which moved to our fine community in 1994, traditionally celebrates the Russian holiday with a show of force parade and exhibition of the bust of Lenin on Garry Karlamov's front lawn. This year, the group promises more spectacle than ever, with a tank and three missile launchers represented by hand-painted cardboard sleeves placed over family automobiles. This will give viewers a good idea of what one of the grand Red Square parades was like in the old USSR. The parade will take place Sunday on Beach Avenue between 5th and 3rd Streets from 2 to 2:05 p.m. A delegation from the city of Icebox visited the state capitol in St. Paul this week to lobby the government for funds to build civic improvements. Requests made to the Senate Infrastructure Committee include widening the turning lane on Highway 8 at South Lake, dock improvements on the community dock at the end of Beach Avenue, and an electric fence which will encircle the entire town, specifically designed to repel reanimated, half-consumed roast turkeys. No word yet on how the request will receive, though an unsubstantiated rumor persists that at least two members of the Icebox Party were detained for psychiatric examination. Governor Dayton was unavailable for comment.
Describe it.
believe she did this to me.
Your own fault for leaving the room.
See, I knew that. I'm kicking myself.
Would you like help?
Ow! What'd you do that for?
I'm sorry. I'm an alien, unfamiliar with your ways.
Really?
No, not really. I just thought it would be funny.
Well, I'm gonna get Abby for this.
Relax, you're only the lookout.
Yeah, but I'm here when I could be home, hiding in a closet.
I fear that a closet door won't protect you should the situation turn dire.
Well, what is it we're doing anyway?
I've prepared a small device with Major and Cody's help. If it works, it will solve our problems forever.
And if it doesn't work?
It will blow up some percentage of the town.
Some percentage?
Prevailing winds make predictions difficult.
Wonderful. Will it at least kill the rock people?
Certainly. Well...
Oh my God!
It will have a buffering effect. They won't be able to bother Dr. Graves anymore.
But I thought Dr. Graves liked being bothered by his ghosts.
He does. But now that he knows they're not ghosts, but criminal aliens, he's not that enthused. He's more of a dark fantasy fan, not science fiction.
Coming up on it now.
How can you tell?
See how the water is kind of dark green?
Oh, it's amazing. It's like a perfect circle.
Slow down, Cody. When we actually enter the circle, it will be better to not use a power source.
Wait a minute. How's he supposed to steer in there?
See this paddle?
Tell me that's not our escape, too.
No, but it will be better to get out of the circle without the engine. Once we're free of the event horizon, he can engage the engine and we'll get away quickly.
And Major won't detonate until we're away.
That's the plan.
We've got signal mirrors. We'll communicate that way.
Fine. Quick question?
Yes?
What the hell am I doing here?
Relax, JJ. The device must be dropped in the exact center of the event, and it takes two to do that properly.
Coming up now.
Okay. So where is this device?
You're sitting on it.
I what?
And no sudden moves. You've been keeping it steady all this time.
Okay, ready?
I am. JJ?
He's ready.
Quiet.
Anything I should be on guard for when we paddle out of here?
There should be no debilitating effects, but it will probably feel strange.
Strange?
It's hard to explain, and it affects everyone differently.
Okay. Ready, JJ? I'll take that as a yes. What is that?
A boat! Coming up fast!
It's Sam, oh thank God!
Why are you happy to see him?
I'm thinking of claiming you guys kidnapped me.
Cody, keep paddling.
Right.
Hello, boys! Doing a little fishing?
Hello, Sam! Just be a minute!
Stop paddling, Cody.
We just need to move out of here a little more.
I said stop paddling, Cody.
I'm sorry, Sam. I can't do that.
You guys want to tell me what's going on?
It would be better if you headed back to shore right away.
Why don't you tell me what's going on out there?
You could move in here and see.
What's wrong?
He doesn't want to come into the circle. He knows.
I'd hate to have to arrest anyone, but I'm going to have to insist you guys paddle out of there. Now!
I'm just about to the center.
Boys!
Ignore him.
What?
Just ignore him.
But he's going to...
If he were going to do something, he would have done it by now. Get ready.
What do you guys think you're doing?
Sorry, Sam. Well, just be a second. We have to, empty our live well.
Nobody move! Just stay right where you are.
What do we do?
Are we there, Cody?
Pretty close.
JJ, get up off the device.
Okay.
Now, see the handles?
Guys?
I'll grab this side. You grab the other.
Okay.
Get ready.
Gentlemen, I'm going to have to ask you stop what you're doing and pull alongside my boat.
He's got his gun out.
What?
He's not going to shoot us.
Well, how do you know?
Well, the chance of him shooting us is very slim. Oh.
Guys?
Stop right now or I'll shoot.
On three. One, two.
Oh, my God.
That was just a warning shot. Stop what you're doing.
Three.
No!
There. Get out of here, Cody.
Should I use the...
Yes, yes. Just get clear.
Wait a minute.
Should we be just running away from him like that?
It's for the best. He'll pursue us and get away from the event faster.
But he's gonna arrest us.
For fleeing the scene of an illegal dump? Dr. Graves will pay your fine, JJ.
He's following us, and he looks mad.
Cody, pull into the shore here. This should be far enough to protect us from the blast.
But he'll catch us.
That's inevitable. Let's just finish this. Quickly, Cody. The signal mirror. Tell Major to detonate.
Right.
What the hell was that all about?
Wasn't my idea.
I'm sorry, Sam. It had to be done.
What did you drop back there? What's in the lake?
It was necessary.
Do you have any idea what kind of trouble you're in? The feds watch that spot 24/7.
They do.
I doubt we're in any serious trouble, given the fact that they did not stop us. Cody?
He's signaling.
Yes? What is it? What does he say?
He says he did it. He detonated.
Detonated?
But nothing happened. What was supposed to happen?
Oh, there was supposed to be an explosion.
You want to tell me what you dumped in the lake, Doctor?
Oh, don't blame Dr. Graves for this. He had nothing to do with it.
Okay, that's it. Lift your motor, Cody, and toss me your bow line. I am towing you back to the dock now. We are going to have a long talk.
You can't count on much of this world, but you can count on that theme song, meaning it's time for Radio Icebox Playhouse. Now, we have a special treat for you today. It's a show that was recorded before a live audience just a couple years ago. Time now for Kayak Annie, Backwoods Librarian. It's historical drama on Radio Icebox Playhouse.
Stand by your radios, listeners. It's time again for that whitewater literacy advocate of the Great North Woods, Kayak Annie, Borderland Librarian. Riding the rivers and streams of the most remote reaches of the land of 10,000 lakes, Librarian Annie, with her faithful kayak, the Unsinkable Three, bring the gifts of books and reading to the loggers and prospectors of this great land.
A whole stack of woodworking magazines. This'll do wonders to pass the winter, Annie.
Just doing my job.
Encyclopedia Volume M through Z. Now I can do my school report on Madagascar, Annie.
Stay in school and read a little for fun every day.
Oh, mystery novels. This'll pass the long days while my fellow's off working in the woods. Oh, you're a blessing to our people, Annie.
Books are the blessing, Mrs. Me and my faithful kayak, Unsinkable Three, are merely the messengers.
Yes, Kayak Annie was beloved by all the people of this great land. And because of her skill with the paddle and fearlessness on the churning waters of area rivers and streams, she could bring the gift of reading to virtually everyone. Our story begins just as the spring melt was at its worst. Annie paddled furiously downriver towards the cabin of old Nels Nelson, a retired logger with a fondness for horror novels and the history of the Chinese emperors. It took every bit of her kayaking skill, but Annie managed to arrive at Nels' cabin without dampening a single book.
Hello, Nels. It's Kayak Annie. I've managed to arrive at your cabin without dampening a single book.
Oh, greetings, child. I don't think I'd see you this month, what with the river so high and all.
Oh, it would take a lot more than high water to stop Kayak Annie.
Oh, maybe so, but I have news.
Just a moment, Nels. Look what I brought you.
Oh, my books.
Yes, there's a collection of short stories from Bram Stoker and a new book on the Ming Dynasty.
Oh, I thank you kindly, Annie. I'll get the books I borrowed from last time for you in a moment, but first, pray tell, where are you headed from here?
Oh, the Campbell homestead next, then back again to my little cabin in the Muskeg near Big Falls.
Oh, Campbell. That's the family down the river here a piece.
The same. They have two young ones with schooling to do, and without these books, I fear for their education.
Oh, fear for more than that, Annie. Oh, for to reach the Campbell's cabin, you have to travel through bog, marsh, swamp, don't you?
Well, yes, but that calm water holds no fears to me. Especially this time of year before our friend the mosquito comes out of hibernation.
Oh, there are creatures great and small in that swamp, Annie. And I fear for your life should you proceed on this well-intentioned but ill-advised journey for the sake of literacy.
It's just a swamp, Nels.
Yes, but there's something you should know about. Last month,
Old Bill McGillicuddy, the prospector?
Of course. Lives up the river. Likes romance novels and cookbooks.
Oh, that's him. Last month, old Bill staggered to this very door. His face was ashen, his eyes bloodshot. His great coat and dungarees had been torn to ribbons.
Heavens! Was it bandits?
Oh, worse. He came in here, sat at my table while I brewed him a strong cup of coffee.
Very neighborly.
Oh, thank you. And he told me he'd just been to Bog Marsh Swamp and he'd seen the Wild Man.
The Wild Man? You mean that ridiculous story about the hairy creature who's 10 feet tall?
Ridiculous story? Oh, I would think that a learned woman like yourself would have more respect for the wonders of nature.
I have respect for folklore, which is just what the Wild Man of Bog Marsh Swamp is.
Tell that to Bill McGillicuddy. There weren't no folklore that tipped over his canoe and scattered his provisions. Oh, I tell you, the Wild Man is real, and he's on the rampage.
Now, Nels, you know as well as I do there's no scientific proof that any such Wild Man exists. He's just a story dreamed up around the campfires of our fair region to entertain and perhaps frighten the young folks, rather like the Knickerbocker tales of New York's Hudson Valley.
No, I don't know from science, of course, but I've seen huge footprints over near Bog Marsh Swamp, and that's proof enough for me. Oh, please, Annie, don't continue this ill-advised mission to bring book learning to the Campbells, young'uns. It's not worth it. Not at the cost of your own life.
Oh, your concern moves me, Nels. It really does. But I have a mission to fulfill. And after paddling the treacherous whitewater of our territory, I can scarcely allow myself to be stopped by the story of some hairy beast, can I?
Oh, Annie. Oh, be careful. Where would we be without the books and your smiling face to deliver them?
Annie bid farewell to her friend and set back out downstream. The river carried Annie swiftly but safely through the territory until she came to the bend where fate dealt her a choice.
There it is, the tributary that leads to Bog Marsh Swamp and the Campbell's Cabin. Nels Nelson did appear sincere in his silly warnings. Oh, what should I do? Take the tributary and risk running into the fabled Wild Man? Or stay on the river and speed away home? Ah! Listen to yourself, Annie. You know what you're supposed to do.
And with that, Kayak Annie gave a mighty heave with her paddle and pushed her fabled conveyance, Unsinkable 3, up the tributary towards Bog Marsh Swamp. A few minutes later, the water grew still, then heavy with green slime, as Annie paddled forward. Though she continued to tell herself that all was well in this marshy landscape, her eyes grew two sizes as she scanned the shoreline for, well, anything.
It is so quiet and still in here. This truly makes a change from the roaring river. Oh, stop it, Annie. Stories of wild men are pure fiction and not to be taken literally. You might as well be afraid of Mr. Wells' Martians or Mr. Stoker's Count. There are no wild men, and that's final. What's that? Something moving through the brush. Well, yes, of course, probably a deer, or at the very worst, a bear. Neither likely to bother me as I paddle out here in the middle of the swamp. But to get to the Campbells, I have to portage up ahead. All right, Annie, get your nerve up. These books won't deliver themselves.
Annie's kayak slid slowly through the swamp towards the far bank. A portage trail was visible cutting into the wilderness, but it looked to be nothing more than a sunless corridor of shadows, as eerie and strange a piece of woods as could be seen in a region as lovely as northern Minnesota.
All right, just about there. Give it a good run up onto the muddy shore and... Oh, there. Unsinkable 3 is nearly half out of the water. Now, if memory serves, the portage is only about 100 yards. If I hurry, I'll be through in no time.
In a flick of a bobcat's whiskers, Annie had the Duluth pack of books strapped to her back and her kayak resting on her shoulders. But as she began to step cautiously up the trail, she almost wished her beloved Unsinkable 3 was a standard in Northland canoe. For to portage a kayak, one has to flip it upside down and put one's head directly into the cockpit, the large central hole where the paddler sits when the craft is on water. This means that Annie could only see the ground directly beneath her, and the larger forest, as dark and foreboding a place as she'd ever walked in, was hidden from view.
Well, If I were a wild man, I certainly would pick this moment to attack. I can't see a thing to either side in this dark and foreboding wood. Not that I believe in wild men, of course. What's that? What's that? Nothing, Annie, nothing. That's what that was. You have a fine imagination, but you'd best leave it for the fiction section. It'll do you no good out here. Now that's an animal of some kind. And you know the common wisdom about wild animals. They're more afraid of you than you are of them. Kind of difficult to prove that right at the moment. Not that I want to prove it today.
With that, Annie doubled her speed and moved as fast as the kayak on her head would allow her. The ground grew rocky under her feet, and she was forced to slow her step. It was all she could manage to keep panic from stealing her reason entirely.
Oh, well, just about halfway there. It's not far now. Oh, don't fall, Annie. Hate to have to say you skinned your knee and explain how you did it by running away from some imaginary horrible monster. Like, wild man!
With all pretense of propriety aside, Annie ran at top speed over the rocky, uneven ground, the unsinkable three rocking from side to side atop her shoulders.
I know I shouldn't be afraid, but I can't help it. Oh, if only I didn't have
this. Give me that!
A kayak on my head! Good heavens!
Annie was shocked to discover the load lightened as suddenly the entire bulk of unsinkable three was lifted away!
Good gracious heavens me!
For as the faithful kayak rose up off Annie's shoulders and into the air, it revealed a massive bulk of a creature. A man, or something like a man, covered from head to foot with greenish-brown matted hair. His mouth was a mass of sharp teeth, and his eyes were as black as midnight. It was the Wild Man. We'll be back to our exciting adventure in just a moment, but first, a word from our sponsor. Kids, you love your cell phones, texting friends, playing the latest games, and listening to music all day long. But you know what's really we really hate about those modern phones? Those annoying telephone calls.
Colin, this is your mother. You said you were going to check in. Are you still at Terry's house, or did you move on?
Deborah, this is Mr. Franklin down at the Dairy Queen. Have you thought on the schedule to 3 to 9 shift, young lady? Where are you?
Yo, Bobby, this is your best bud, Sergeant Rad Radson, down at the Army Recruiting Office. I was wondering if you wanted to get together for that cup of coffee this week.
Yes, there's nothing worse than having to field call after call from old people who don't understand how to text. But now there's Funny Calls, the hilarious app that makes even the most annoying caller sound small, insignificant, and worthy of your harshest adolescent ridicule. Just keep the Funny Calls app running in the background of your phone and say goodbye to those pesky feelings of accountability when all unwanted calls come in sounding like this.
Colin, you said you were going to call in. I am very angry with you.
I'm beginning to think you don't take officer seriously, young lady.
No, we hardly almost never get shot at.
Yes, it's Funny Calls. Available in the Google Play and iPhone App Store. Download yours today.
And quit laughing at me, young man. That is so funny.
Funny Calls. We return you now to the Portage Trail, deep in the depths of Bog Marsh Swamp, where Kayak Annie has ventured to try and bring books to the Campbell family, residents at the far end of the swamp. But what's this? The fabled creature, the Wild Man, has appeared from the underbrush and snatched Annie's kayak right from her portaging head. Now Kayak Annie stands dumbfounded, where the 10-foot-tall beast who is all hair, teeth, and seriously nasty smell.
Ugh, what is that smell?
Quiet! You bring floaty thing into my swamp. I take floaty thingy.
Floaty thing? Are you referring to my intrepid kayak, the Unsinkable Three?
Me don't know. Me just know floaty thing is no more.
Oh! You crushed my kayak.
No floaty things. This my swamp, not yours.
Who or what are you?
I, king of entire swamp. Who you?
I'm called Kayak Annie, Northwoods librarian. I'm a simple bringer of books and periodicals to all the people of this region so that literacy and education may reign supreme.
All people? All people? You say me not people?
Well, I
live in this swamp before your kind come to these woods. Even before others come, I am here.
The others? Are you speaking of the tribes?
The others. They call themselves Ojibwe and Chippewa. Just like you call yourself, librarian.
Oh, well, that's not the same. Although I suppose we are somewhat like a tribe.
What your tribe have to trade? I have moss. What you got for Moss?
Well, I have books.
What are books?
Well, these are books here in my pack.
They don't smell very good. What they taste like?
No, you don't understand. You don't eat them. You read them. Good heavens!
On second thought, don't taste too bad.
Stop that this instant. You can't eat library books.
Me no see you stopping me.
But they're not edible. They're literature.
Literature.
Oh, that's Shakespeare you're ripping up.
He tasty fellow. Tell you what, I give you half my moss for more books.
What?
Fine. All my moss.
Oh, you don't understand. You're destroying something precious and important.
Not destroying, just eating. Same as eating plants of the woods, or meat of the deer, or rocks of the cave.
You eat cave rocks?
Important to have minerals in diet. Me gonna need minerals if I keep eating these books. Me gonna get fat.
Fat?
Yeah, too many carbs.
No, stop. Cease, please. Please stop eating the books for one moment and let me talk to you.
Talk to me? Lady librarian been here 2 minutes and hasn't shut up yet.
Look, just look at the pages you're ripping. Do you see those black marks all over them?
Ugh. You gotta clean up your kitchen before cooking next time.
No, you don't understand. Those are called letters, and letters fit together to form words, and words, sentences, and so on.
And so on, and so on, and so on. Librarian lady never shut up, do she?
My point is, you don't eat them, you read them.
What reading?
What's reading? Well, it's like carrying on a conversation with a person who isn't even there.
So, you and I could be talking without you here?
In a sense, yes.
Me like the sound of that. You go away. Me stay here with books. We have long talk.
Stop! Stop, please! I'm begging you!
I give you nothing. You trespass on my swamp.
But I only meant to travel through. You can't expect me to know it's your swamp. There are no signs or anything.
There be signs. The bears and wolf, they read signs.
Well, what kind of signs are you using?
Just smell base of tree. Then you find out.
Oh, you mean you're marking the trees?
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Wait, that's it.
So glad you agree.
No, I mean I have a great idea. Say, Mr. Wildman, sir, how would you like to put up a sign that will keep all of my kind out of your swamp forever?
No more noisy librarians. Keep talking.
All right, but it'll take some work. You have to learn how to read.
No, I don't want to.
Oh, yeah, you're right. After all, most of the people outside the swamp said you'd be too stupid to learn anyway.
Oh, they did. Stupid, non-hairy, short people say me dumb head.
Yes, it was quite a shock to me, too.
I show them. I read the snot out of those little black dots.
Well, I suppose there are worst ways to begin one's march toward literacy.
And so began the strangest odyssey that Kayak Annie ever undertook, teaching a half-crazed wild man to read.
This one A. This one B.
Very good.
C. D. Look. This one like spider on his side.
That's called an E. And if you think that looks like a spider, notice the letter M.
Ah, a spider!
Oh, dear, you've broken another table.
She came back to the swamp week after week for months.
The cat sat on the mat.
Very good.
Reading fun.
The summer turned to winter and back to summer again, until finally came the day when Annie stood at the edge of Bogmarsh Swamp with the wild man. She'd nailed a piece of wood to a tall tree, and the wild man stood before it with a can of red paint and a brush that was dwarfed by his hand.
Me nervous.
You can do it. Just go ahead.
No.
That's good. That's perfect. You've written no. Now go ahead with the rest.
Me no think I can.
Go on, just like we practiced.
But it's so long.
Go on, you'll be fine. I'll be right here with you.
Okay. Start T, right?
That's right.
T. Trespassing.
You did it. No trespassing, it says.
And this keep all librarians and other short, hairless creatures out of swamp?
It will. And if anyone ignores this sign, tell them there'll be no more books from Kayak Annie until they apologize and promise to stay away.
Okay. but maybe I'd better mark side just to be sure.
And I should be going.
It was the strangest and most rewarding chapter of Kayak Annie's illustrious career, for though most humans stayed away from the Wild Man Swamp, Annie herself made monthly visits to his domain, and she never came empty-handed.
Annie, me finish Encyclopedia Brown. Me start on Hardy Boys next.
And his progress month to month was remarkable.
Goodness, you've read all these already?
Yes, Miss Annie. Maybe you could come twice next month.
And so ended the most famous chapter in the history of Kayak Annie, the woman who taught the wild man of Bog Swamp Marsh to read.
Hey, you got any more of those Twilight books?
Though perhaps not to read well. Well, we take a moment and introduce the members of the Icebox Radio Actors Guild. Stand up and take a bow, Mr. Cody Boyer, ladies and gentlemen.
Wonderful.
Been with us for a long time since Worms squashed her about 6 years ago, Victoria Olson. And our very old wild man who lives in a swamp, Tom Pament, ladies and gentlemen.
You know you're going to tell me, so you might as well get it over with.
I know no such thing.
I wasn't talking to you.
Well, I certainly won't squeal.
Nor you.
Me? I don't know anything.
JJ, think about your situation. Wouldn't it make sense for you to just cooperate?
Oh, it totally would, but they didn't tell me anything.
We knew he'd squeal.
Indeed.
See?
All right, then. I guess I can just book all three of you.
All right, what is going on in here?
This is an interrogation. You can't come in here, Abby.
They're entitled to counsel, aren't they? I'm their counsel.
You are?
Sure. Boys, don't say anything.
Okay.
See? I'm good at this.
Well, Perry Mason, suspects are not entitled to counsel until they've been booked, and I haven't decided whether or not to book them.
So they're free to go?
Of course not.
You either need to charge them with something or let them go, Sam.
I can keep them for questioning for up to 24 hours.
What? 24 hours? I can't make it, Abby. I'm too pretty for the big house.
You get the feeling all of this is getting out of hand?
Indeed.
Wait. Just wait. Sam?
Yes, Abby?
What are they being charged with?
Well, illegal dumping for starters. And I want to know what they threw in the lake.
Couldn't you send divers down to get it?
I have been advised not to do that.
Advised by whom?
I have been advised not to tell anyone that, least of all the folks who represent our only media in town.
A fair point.
Thank you.
But the point of all this is that you want to know what they threw in the lake, right? I mean, there isn't a lot you can actually charge them with.
Partially, but there's another thing.
What?
People who try stunts like that have a way of disappearing. I want to figure out what happened before any of them fade into the mist.
We're going to disappear?
Too early to tell.
We're not going to disappear.
How can you be so sure?
Look at everything that's happened.
I sense a wrap-up coming.
Dr. Graves disappeared. Jennifer disappeared. A strange gypsy lady appeared, then went away. Grandpa number one turned out to be walking corpse, and real grandpa is now on the run from the law.
Score one for JJ. The crowd goes wild.
Zombie turkeys, mysterious liquid. What am I forgetting?
The fog.
Right. The fog. Weirdness. Everywhere around us. Weirdness. But you know the one thing that hasn't happened?
What?
None of us have ever been arrested. Until now. Whatever is going on, the mysterious shadow police that are hovering around the town are letting it happen. And I think I know why.
Okay, why?
Because they don't know what to do. And they think we might have some ideas.
Wow.
Stop that.
I'm sorry.
Sam?
Yes, Cody.
Do you want to know what we threw in the lake?
More than anything, please.
Peggy?
It was an interdimensional explosive, specifically designed to demolish the meteorite, which splashed down in 1975.
You wanted to blow it up?
Yes.
Why?
Because that meteorite contains the souls of some very dangerous beings who have been haunting your community for 40 years.
Contained their souls.
Essentially, yes.
Okay, let's say I buy that.
All right.
Doesn't that make what you were doing murder?
They were really bad beings.
I think I need to go back to the radio station.
Stay right where you are.
Just to get some air, then. Let me open the door.
Abby! What the hell?
What is that?
Oh, no.
What is it?
It's like a green dome hovering over the lake.
Peggy, what is it?
We're too late.
Too late for what? What is that thing?
It's growing.
What?
See, there. The line of the dome just reached the shoreline across the lake. You can see trees and brush getting enveloped in it.
It's growing?
And it will continue growing, too. They've done it.
Who? Who did what?
We're too late. They found a way. Sam?
Yes?
There's a radio there on the table. Turn it on, please.
I don't understand.
Just do it.
What's wrong with the signal?
It's been taken over. I'm sorry, everyone. I was too late. It's too late for all of us.
The fifth protocol is now in effect. The fifth protocol is now in effect. The fifth protocol is now in effect. The fifth protocol is now in effect.
This has been Radio Icebox, Season 1, Episode 16, The Fifth Protocol. Starring Ayla McIntosh as Abby, Cody Boyer as Cody, and Jeffrey Adams as JJ. Our guest stars were Tom Bement as Grandpa, Jim Yunt was Sam, and Douglas Grief portrayed Dr. Graves. Direction and post-production by Jeffrey Adams. Some sound effects from the Freesound Project at freesound.org. The song this week was Brand New by Paper Parlor. Learn more about their work and support their music at bandcamp.com. The Radio Icebox Playhouse theme song is Monkeys Spinning Monkeys from Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. The radio play was Kayak Annie, Northwoods Librarian, originally recorded live by the Icebox Radio Theater in 2014. Radio Icebox Season 1 is made possible in part by the voters of Minnesota through a grant from the Arrowhead Regional Arts Council, thanks to appropriations from the Minnesota State Legislature's General and Arts and Cultural Heritage Funds.